Very good. I'll begin my Dharma talk by returning, and I'd like to reread one of the third verse here of this our pledge. This is what we'll be kind of focusing on today. And as I read this, I think this is just perfect for our time and these days that we're living through at the moment. So again, I invite you to join me in Gassho. Not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. 自分だけを大事にすることなく、人と喜びや悲しみを分かち合います。慈悲に満ち満ちた仏様のように。ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ、ナマンダブツ。An interesting time that we're living in. After our service this morning, we'll be having our Dharma School group will be getting together on Zoom. There's a link to that also in the email I sent out for those Dharma School families who would like to join. But the assignment for today was a bit of a show and tell that Teacher D is going to be leading to share something that's important to you, something that we're treasuring and feeling precious at the moment. And so there's a couple of things I wanted to share. I won't be able to join that one, but I wanted to share this item that's important to me. Can you see what this is? Can you see? So maybe it's a little bit hard to see. Is it a little bit small? Yeah? Yeah? So I'll bring it up close so that people can see what it is. You see what this item is that's important to me in my life? Right now? Yeah, this is toilet paper, right? Toilet paper. And so these days, I've heard that you can buy one single roll of toilet paper for $10. $10. You know, it seems a little bit expensive, doesn't it? Right? But people who really want it are willing to pay that much for a roll of toilet paper. And there's one other item that I have here I wanted to share with everybody. This one, can you see what this is? This is Purell hand sanitizer. I've heard that there's a store that was selling this for $60 a bottle. $60 a bottle, right? That's ridiculous, right? But at this time, you know, people really want these things. They want the toilet paper for the obvious reasons, and the Purell, of course, to kill the germs and keep their hands sanitized. So people are willing to pay a lot of money, or perhaps we could think about it as people are willing to charge a lot of money for these items. And it's interesting, you know, we think about these times we live in, it's really, really extraordinary times where we're trying to just go about our daily lives, and we're finding that we're having to adjust, and things that we normally would be able to easily go and do are becoming a little bit more difficult. We have to stay home a lot. We go to the store, and sometimes the things we want to buy, like toilet paper, hand sanitizer, aren't readily available. And so we're learning how to make do. And for me, when I have these experiences, not getting what I want, not being able to get what I want, I feel this kind of anger, this frustration coming up in my mind. And I feel like I'm less and less, you know, like the calm and compassionate Buddha in those moments. And so as we try to live through these times, where can we look for guidance? Where can we find the teachings that will enable us to live with a calm and peaceful mind, to not put ourselves first, to live in the way that the Buddha lived, which we know as Buddhists and as people in Nembutsu is our path to living a life of peace and happiness. And so for me, I look to the wisdom of those who have come before, those who have lived in the past, in the Nembutsu. And when I was reading about this $10 rolls of toilet paper and $60 bottles of hand sanitizer, I was reminded of one particular person who lived in Japan over 200 years ago. His name was Seikuro. And Seikuro was a person who lived very devout in the Nembutsu. And he was also a person who made his living as a kind of a small business person. He was a farmer, but then on the off season, he would do things like gather firewood from the mountains near his farm and go into town and try to sell his firewood. And it said that in those days, everything was done with bargaining. He would go to town with his firewood, and people would ask him, how much is that bundle of firewood you're selling for? And normally a person would say, oh, this bundle of firewood is 10 yen. And they would say, no, that's way too much. I'll give you 5 yen for it. Say, oh, I'll give it to you for 8. No, still too high. I'll give you 7. Say, okay. And that's how things would be bought and sold through this bargaining, through this bartering back and forth. And Seikuro had a very interesting attitude. He would come to town with a bundle of firewood, and someone would ask him, hey, that's a nice bundle of firewood. How much do you want for it? And Seikuro would say, I want 10 yen for it. Say, whoa, that's too high. I'll give you 5 yen for it. Seikuro would say, okay, and he would just sell it to them for 5 yen. And the next person would come up and say, how much do you want for that bundle of firewood? He would say, 10 yen. Say, 10 yen? I'll give you 2. And Seikuro would say, okay, and he would sell it for them for just 2 yen. He had this very generous, very calm heart. He didn't want to argue with people about the price, because he figured, well, if they only want to give me 2 yen, that's probably all they can afford. And so people, even those who had previously purchased this firewood for a ridiculously low price, even those people would come to give him whatever he asked for, because they knew that he was a very honest and straightforward person. So they would say, how much is that firewood? He would say, it's 10 yen. And they would say, okay, you can have 10 yen for the firewood, right? So I'm going to go back up to the podium now and continue to share my Dharma talk from up there. I think the microphone's a little bit closer.
So Seikuro, as I mentioned, he was a very generous person. And there's a wonderful story about his generosity that I think is particularly inspiring and kind of surprising story. So Seikuro, one day he went out to the neighboring village to visit one of his friends. He actually went to attend a Buddhist service for a friend who had passed away, and he went to the service in the next village, and so he left his house open. He was gone from his house all day, and when he came back home, he found that the wall of his house had been broken down. Someone had broken down the wall of his house, gone in, and had stolen 7 silver bills. So in those days in Japan, they had a little bit different kind of money. It was a note for silver, but it was like basically, so it was like he had maybe $70 or something like that, 7,000 yen under his under the floor mat in his house. Someone had come in, they'd ransacked his place, they'd found his seven bills, his 7,000 yen, and they took that money and they left. And Seikuro came back and his wall was broken down, and the neighbors came by and they saw the wall of his house broken down. And they said, Seikuro, what happened? He said, somebody came in and they broke down my wall and they stole my 7,000 yen. They stole my $7. And so the neighbors said, oh no, that's so terrible. So sorry. And he said, yeah, it's really too bad about the wall, but they went to all this trouble to break down my wall. They must have really, really fallen on hard times. They must really need the money. So I'm glad that they came in and they broke in today and not tomorrow, because today I have 7 yen, but a lot of times, or 7,000 yen, a lot of times I don't have any money at my place. So it's good that they broke in today. I would feel really badly if they broken in and they didn't have anything to show for it. They went all this trouble of breaking down my wall and then they didn't find anything of value. I just feel badly. I don't have anything that would be more useful to them. I'm sure that they really needed the money. You know, if they had come yesterday, I had $15 because yesterday I had just sold a big batch of vegetables and I had $15. But then this morning I went and I spent 8 of it doing laundry. So now there's only 7 left. But at least, you know, at least there was something, because sometimes I don't have any money at all. And so his neighbors listened to him telling this story and they thought, what is this guy? Is he crazy? They thought, what a strange attitude. And they asked him, wait a second, you seem kind of happy about this. How can you be happy that you got robbed? And Seikuro said, you know, I'm not happy that I got robbed, but there's nothing to be ashamed of about getting robbed. It's not my fault that I got robbed. And you know, when I really think about it, I'm just an ordinary person, an unenlightened person, like everybody else. And particularly, you know, if I think about myself, there are times when I see something that somebody else has and think, ooh, I'd really like to have that. And so, you know, there are times when I've wished that I could get something that someone else has. And so my heart, deep down inside, my heart is the same as the heart of this robber, the same as the heart of the person who broke down my wall and stole my $7. But however, when I think about it, I realize that it's because I've come to hear the Nembutsu, it's because the compassion of the Buddha is here in my life through the Nembutsu, that I've come to appreciate my connection with other people. And I don't give rise to the ideas. I don't think about wanting to try to steal other people's stuff. So it's thanks to the Buddha that I haven't become a thief. And so if I were a person who had stolen somebody else's stuff, even $5 worth of stuff, if I went out and grabbed $5 from somebody that wasn't mine, if I got caught for that, not only would it be a great shame for myself, but it would bring shame on all of the people who are in this community of people who live together in the Nembutsu, who follow the Buddha's teachings. And in this way, it would actually harm the Buddha's teachings, because people would think, oh, Buddhists, they're all thieves. And so I'm actually grateful because I haven't become a thief, and I can only rejoice and feel happy because I've encountered the teaching of the Buddha and because I've been able to avoid becoming a thief. Right? And so Seikuro had this really interesting way of thinking. He didn't put himself first. His first way of thinking wasn't, who stole my stuff? I'm so mad at that person. His first thinking was, wow, they must have really needed that. They must be having a really difficult time in life. He had this kind of generous heart. And so when I think about Seikuro, think about how his mind was changed by the Nembutsu. I think about these difficult times that we're living in today. And I think perhaps there's something that we can learn from Seikuro, from his life, and from our own encounter with the Buddha's teaching. You know, when I go through my daily life, how is my thinking transformed by hearing the Nembutsu? Right? When I think about Seikuro, when I think about this Nembutsu teaching that he received, I realize that the Buddha embraces all beings. Everyone is embraced by the Buddha's compassion. The Buddha cares deeply for all people. And so we who hear this teaching of the Buddha, we also receive this heart of compassion. And perhaps like Seikuro, we can come to recognize that, well, perhaps even I am greedy and I maybe have a tendency to take more than my fair share of the toilet paper or the hand sanitizer, that when I hear the teachings of the Buddha, I can think about how I might be more able to practice generosity. You know, I think about that here at the temple. One of our temple members here works very hard to procure all of the supplies that we need for things like our bazaar and our bento sale. And when we were still thinking about doing our bento sale earlier this month, we purchased tons and tons of face masks. We had boxes and boxes of face masks so that everybody could wear a face mask to do the bento sale. But then as this temple member was listening to the news, and hearing more and more about the hospitals and the people who really need face masks and how they're not able to get the protective gear that they need, this temple member came here to the temple, collected up all the extra boxes of face masks that we have, and brought them to donate to local hospitals. And that had never occurred to me to do that. My thinking was, wow, I'm so glad we have all those face masks at the temple. But this person had received the Nembutsu and their way of thinking was changed. So we have examples of this, of how thinking like Seikuro, not putting ourselves first, thinking about the needs of others, can enable us to live through this difficult time guided by the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha. So what can I do? What can we do moment to moment, perhaps to help others a little bit, to make their lives a little bit better? One thing that we're all doing this morning is we're staying home. We're staying healthy, right? Maybe we'd like to, you know, go out shopping at a mall, go to a party, maybe go to the beach, but we understand that it's by staying home, by sticking close to our own families, by not going out and mixing and mingling, that we prevent ourselves from catching this coronavirus. We prevent ourselves from sharing it and passing it on to others. So it's difficult for us these days to stay home. It's been a couple weeks now that we've been at home. We've been doing school from home. We've been doing work from home. It's not easy, but this is something that we can do to help others, to not put ourselves first, but think about how we can live together with all people and really embody this compassion of the Buddha in our hearts and in our lives, and live a little bit more like the compassionate Buddha who has deep concern for all beings. So I'll conclude my reflections here once again with these words of our pledge. Please join me in Gassho. Not putting myself first, I will share in the joy and sadness of others, just like the compassionate Buddha. 自分だけを大事にすることなく、人と喜びや悲しみを分かち合います。慈悲に満ち満ちた仏様のように。南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏、南無阿弥陀仏。